I'd like to ask everyone to stand. And let's just give God the glory for this day, for everything that He has accomplished, and for this night, that God will have the glory and the honor and the praise for everything that's accomplished tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your kindness, Your love. Lord, we praise Your holy name. Father, we ask You, Lord, to bless this night. Bless the reading of Your word. Bless each one that is here tonight and those that will hear later. God, that something that was said, something that was done tonight, will edify the body of Christ. To Your name, Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we give the honor and praise and glory. Amen.
I have a source of strength when I am weak that helps me through when life.
Pray that those of you who know how nervous I am will keep me in your prayers. I've discussed this with Brother James, how I used to do this quite a lot, but for the past few months, for some reason, it seems harder standing in front of a crowd. And the fact that it is being recorded puts that exponentially. But I trust that our dear pastor will edit and try to make me sound intelligent. I'd like to start out in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Beginning with the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I read the entire chapter, and I thought to myself, well, what is the theme here? He's going all over the place. But then I saw in Peter a chapter that did almost the same thing. I said, well, what is this? He's here, now he's there, now he's over here. He's giving just general instructions of what being the body is all about. When I got to verse 9, it said, let love be without dissimulation. And of course, I wanted to know what dissimulation was. I said, well, you know, I can't stop there. And looking that up, I found some other scriptures that had the same word, but it meant something else entirely. The word dissimulation, two times, well, in Colossians, it was translated unfeigned. And in Titus, unfeigned. In James, it was translated hypocrisy. And in 1 Peter 1 and 22, it was translated unfeigned. And I wondered, well, that's two words that I still don't know. What's unfeigned? Okay, so dissimulation, that's a word I don't use. Okay, I know what simulation means. Simulate means something you're trying to simulate, something that's real, but it's not real. It's simulated. And I did my research, and you'll have to bear with me with my notes because there were about 400 pages when I first started. I don't have quite that many now. But I looked and I found that feign meant having a false front, having a mask, so to speak. And I thought about the mask sometimes we wear. And many times we don't even think about it. But when we greet each other, a lot of times we're wearing a mask. Hello, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You might have had the worst day ever, but you're fine. And I think about the word love unfeigned. Love unfeigned, love without dissimulation. Love, let love be without dissimulation. So I wonder if that's not telling me to be real. You know, to communicate what's in your heart. To communicate in such a way that they know where you're coming from. And I wonder why we don't do that. You know, why don't we really, truly tell people how we feel? And I think the problem is fear. What do we fear? Do we fear being afraid that somebody will ask something that we don't know the answer to? Do we fear letting people know our true feelings? Are we afraid to admit we need something? Are we afraid that we will be perceived as weak? Are we afraid that we might be looked at as a failure or less than perfect? Are we afraid to ask for help? Examining my own heart, the word unfeigned is found in 1 Peter 1 and 14. Let's go there. First Peter 1, verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation. Skipping to verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Wow. Now, there's another word added to that. First it's unfeigned, now it's fervently. Fervently love the brethren with a pure heart. Dissimulation. The word means pretending to be something you're not. Pretending. You know, I don't have time to do any pretending. I don't have time as a member of the body of Christ to play any games. I don't have time to pretend I'm something I'm not. I don't have time to do anything except be about my Father's business. When I'm instructed to do this, to do that, to be this way and to be that way, I want to be as obedient children. Not because there's a list of do's and don'ts, but because of the mutual love we have for the Father. because of that unity that we have for the blessed hope that He's given us all, I want to break down the barrier, whatever it is, whatever that thing is in me, that fear, and just say, Father, teach me to love with a pure heart and to love fervently. Turn with me to Romans 8 and 13. They moved it from my Bible. I found it. Romans 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When I think about being led by the Spirit, what does that mean? What does it really, truly mean? Led by the Spirit? If through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The most miserable of all sinners, I believe, are disobedient Christians. Disobedient Christians. We're taught as a child to obey your father, obey your mother. But we're taught through the Scriptures, obedience as obedient children. My father used to tell me, you can tell me all you want to that you love me. That's called lip service. He said, but when I come home and the dogs aren't fed, and the grass needs mowing, and the leaves are, you know, what he was saying was, there's another way of showing me you love me. It's by obeying me. That hit home. You know, that hit home. And I was wondering, well, we've been taught all our lives the do's and don'ts, you know. There's a list of all the things we should do and all the things we should not do. And they're almost opposites. And there's Scripture that tell us what not to do, and there's Scriptures that tell us what to do. But this Scripture says, be led by the Spirit. You know, we've taught all the cliches, and I had hundreds of them. I said, no. What if we were led by the Spirit? What if we walked by faith and not by sight? What if we were not moved by what we feel, but by the faith that is inside us? What if we stopped wondering how it was going to be and we started just trusting God that He knows how it's going to be? He knows exactly what my life is going to be tomorrow. And when I start fearing, or I start wondering, or I start putting my own ideas into this, that's when I get fearful. But the Lord told me that perfect love casteth out fear. So it seems to me that this love thing is more than just brotherly love. If I had perfect love, it would cast out the fear. What are we afraid of? I think we're afraid to communicate. I think we're afraid so much of what other people think of us or don't think of us that we're afraid to get down to a level as Christians that says, I need help. I need your prayers. I've had a really rough day. You know, if the next time you asked me how I was doing, if I said, I'd like to come over to your house and tell you, because I've got a problem. And I believe that if the saints got with me and prayed with me, I would get an answer. I would be able to tell you exactly how I'm doing. Or if the next time someone shook my hand and through their smile I saw pain, what would it hurt for me to say, is there anything I can do to help? What would it hurt to break down that fearful barrier that I myself have? What would it hurt to say, when? When can we talk about it? When could you come over? When could we meet? When could we actually get on our knees together and pray for one another? When we talk about Christian love, when we talk about brotherly love, I think of family. And I think there's been so many times going back through history that our family were not very close. We missed opportunities to communicate. And even now, as the family has grown apart, we've missed opportunities to really know one another. The people in my hometown, they know me as Robbie. And they know me from the time period of my childhood to 18. When I go back there, that's who I am. That's all they know about me. And as I move from town to town, which we did quite a lot of back in my 20s and 30s, I realize I'm not that same person. If I went to that town, they would know me as the person I was back then. Now, at my age, I'm not the same person I was at 30. My lifestyle has changed. My job has changed. My attitudes have changed. My theology has changed. So they don't really know me. The people that I grew up with do not know me. My family that I grew up with don't know me. But something just changed about 7 years ago in my life that changed my entire way of thinking about the Bible. So up until about 7 years ago, those people all back that length of time, they don't know who I am now. And just since I came to GCA, I'm not the man I was 2 years ago. So those people that knew me back then don't know me now. But they think they do. They think they know who I am. And believe me, my theology has changed quite a bit over the years. Going back to Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I've heard this many, many times, a living sacrifice. I wonder if the people that really think they know me would be surprised if they could follow me around for 8 hours. I wonder if people that think they know me from here would be surprised if they saw me on a Saturday and just saw what I did on a Saturday. My point is, if I'm going to be your brother, if I'm going to love you with unfeigned love, without dissimulation, without the mask that I have on, I've got to do something about it. I've got to learn to take off the mask. If I truly want to love you, the way this Bible is telling me to, I've got to know you. How can I know you if I'm afraid and I have fear? And I'm too afraid to talk and to ask questions and to say something besides, how are you? Bye. I truly want this Word of God, as simple as it is, love your neighbor. I want to be there. I want to know what that means. Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. On these two hang all the law and all the prophets. And honestly, since my life here at GCA has totally changed the way I view the Bible, I have to start at ground zero. I have to start with the basics. I have a scripture. I hope it's still on my phone. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. First Peter 2, verse 1. Does everybody have it? Brother Tom, would you read that for me?
So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander.
In verse 2.
Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Reading from the King James, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When I started thinking about a newborn baby, we've had the privilege of having a few newborns here in our midst. I thought about the grocery store the other day. There was a newborn, and it was desiring fervently desiring the sincere milk. And I got to looking about the sincere milk, and I just did a little study on it, and I'm not a doctor by no means, and I probably can't even pronounce the words, but I found that a newborn is different, and the milk that it gets is different than just a few weeks later. But in that newborn milk, there are antibodies, all kinds of different ingredients that helps form the baby, helps form his gastrointestinal tract. There are all kinds of things that is going on that is in that milk. When I think about how God had it planned, one article said that if you could put all the ingredients that newborn had in 1 ounce, it would cost you something like $80 an ounce. The nutrients, the vitamins, the antibodies. This scripture says, laying aside malice, laying aside guile, laying aside hypocrisy, laying aside envying, laying aside evil speakings, like a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word, thereby ye may grow. If I want the sincere milk as a newborn, If I fervently desire this in my heart, it's got to be more than just head knowledge. It's got to be a living, breathing something inside me that the desire is so intense. I want more. I want more. I want more of this. Somebody was telling me about a message that they heard recently. And they said, it was just so fascinating. I just had to tell somebody about it. And I told them where to find it. And I looked at them and I thought, somebody outside this group would think, you're crazy. Why would you spend your time doing that? There's so much more to do. Why would you spend your time longing after the sincere milk of the word? People don't understand it. They've got all kinds of things to occupy their time. They've got all kinds of things to entertain themselves. They wouldn't understand why your radio was turned to a Christian station. They wouldn't understand why we spend tonight studying God's word, the sincere milk of the word. They wouldn't understand why we even care. Tonight I want to go back to the word dissimulation. It meant a lot to me when I studied that. And I said, Lord, if there's one thing I don't want to ever do, is be a fake. If there's one thing that one soul could say about me is, if he said it, I believe it. If he said this wall was a certain color, I could trust that it was that color. I used to tell people, don't ask my opinion unless you want it. And that has kind of put me in some serious trouble sometimes, because people ask the opinion and they don't really want it. I trust when I asked you this one thing, I trust that you'll take it at heart. I asked you to pray that I will learn how to love people. That I will learn how to love them with a brotherly love. That I will learn how, when given the opportunity, to share this word. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to lift you up, to praise your holy name. Father, we thank you so much for your Son who died on Calvary. We thank you so much, God, for the price you paid. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to love each other with a brotherly love. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. Help us, God, to be humble. And Father, we thank you so much for your Son. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.